Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. And I don't know who that was on the phone there, Dustin, calling me, but we'll find out later. Dustin, it is time to talk some Penn State football. And we now have a genuine winning streak at three games, even though it really didn't look like that it was going to be the case watching that first half. How about it?
Yeah, it felt like deja vu to the first 5 weeks of the year watching such a slow, kind of sluggish start. But it was encouraging the way that they finished, obviously. And I think the way that they opened things up a bit. And, you know, as James Franklin really praised his team for doing, they found a way to win as opposed to finding a way to lose that game.
That was exactly it. And I even tweeted out at halftime that I had almost forgotten what that team looked like that lost five games in a row. And all of a sudden I remembered watching the way they played that first half. It was nice to see this team still have that fight in them and see the way they played in the second half. Before we get into the specifics of the game and working our way through it, Dustin, what did you see as the change in that second half? What was different?
I felt like, you know, that they opened things up a little bit and got a little bit more aggressive. And I think they, you know, I liken their play calling sometimes to a starting pitcher in a game that isn't showing his best stuff early. And it's always interesting in football because you can't take for granted your ability to come back. I'm all for holding some things back and adjusting and you know, maybe trying to show things that you can utilize later in the game. But when they took it to the air and when they you know, allowed Will Levis to throw and they're looking for Parker Washington, Jahan Dotson, and you know, maybe getting away a tiny bit from all those quarterback draws, which were again a pretty common theme in this game. I felt like they turned a corner. And then, you know, defensively, I felt like their quarterback, Peyton Thorne, he's a pretty good-looking young player, and he was kind of feeling it in that first half. And I think Penn State allowed him to feel it. I think they deserve some blame in addition to the credit that he gets. But, you know, they eventually kind of put the clamps on. They held Michigan State to 3 points in the second half. And I thought just all phases, they were just better, and that includes the play calling to me.
They definitely were, and I like that you pointed out that offensively they opened it up a bit. Now, opening up is relative, but the one thing that I thought was pretty consistent through the season, Dustin, was if they let Sean Clifford have a short, quick passing game, let him get the ball out of his hands quickly. I know a lot of those passes are underneath, but it seems to be effective.
And I'm okay with that. I think he's got the types of weapons that they can make that work. Like, I think Brenton Strange is an interesting emerging weapon. Parker Washington, obviously from week one, but certainly the past few weeks, has emerged as that guy that you can target in that situation. And it was good to see him kind of make some guys miss too. You know, I think some run after the catch is the next level for Parker Washington. So I think they've got the elements and the pieces here to be able to make that type of short passing game work. Now, certainly they have to be able to kind of threaten down the field. And I thought they mixed in a little bit of that. I felt like in the previous 2 weeks where, you know, they beat Michigan, beat Rutgers, Jahan Dotson wasn't as big a part of it as I would have hoped or expected. But they mix it up a bit and were able to target him in those jump ball situations in addition to letting him do some work underneath. So I'm okay with doing a bulk of the work in the passing game, especially with the way that you can't really take Sean Clifford's passing for granted just yet, including the first half in this game where he looked like kind of the Sean Clifford of old, where he was missing high a lot. And he eventually settled down. But I think they can make that short passing game work. I'm okay with that.
I agree with you. And you do enough of that, something will open up deep for you. And what I liked, and I was an advocate of this a few weeks ago, remember when Will Levis started the game and eventually Sean Clifford came in and his first two passes were for touchdowns? Both of them, it was a pump fake, then someone goes. That's what they did one time. And what was the result again today? Or yes, over the weekend? It was another touchdown.
So what you're saying is every play is a pump fake. All right, let's just make every play a pump fake, and we'll score 200 points and we'll get out of here. But it's, you know, I think it's true. Like there is such a rhythm to all this, all these different pieces. You've got obviously the zone read stuff. You've got the quarterback keep stuff that is by design. You've got the short passing game. You've got the deep passing game. You've got all these components that they're trying to mix and match. And the reality of the situation was they're still very much a work in progress in figuring out what they have and how to utilize it over the course of a full 60 minutes. And this one, you know, like this was another game where I'm rolling my eyes some of the time thinking, okay, we're running it again and again and again on these quarterback keep situations. But, you know, if it works, even if it's only working against bad teams, it's working to win games, and they've won three in a row. So can you really complain other than just maybe the aesthetics of it?
Well, it's not so much a complaint of the being conservative, because it is being effective. I think some of it, and to go back to that pump fake just one more time, I've talked about this quite a bit when it happened a few weeks ago. My theory on this and why it's so effective is Sean Clifford is not good at looking off receivers and going to a second option. That the only way you can make that happen is if it's a called play where it's called for him to fake here, then go somewhere else. But the defense has become so accustomed to Sean Clifford locking in on one receiver that when he does this, it's tremendously effective. So that's my take on that, Dustin.
And if that's the truth, it's like, shouldn't he be better in that department by now? You know, I think, it's an area of growth that people reasonably should have expected by now, because, you know, he has these moments, Jim. And I think the touchdown pass to Parker Washington in the end zone was one of those types of moments where if his feet are right, and he is kind of in rhythm and throwing it in rhythm and sees the window, like he can make some really nice throws, but there are definitely some times where maybe he's a little too amped up, or his footwork is bad, or he's overstriding. There are definitely too many times where he's missing, and it kind of boils down to his technique and his fundamentals.
I agree. I think both of us think that there's a lot more there with Sean Clifford than we've seen this season. And it'll be interesting to see how that could improve through next year. Speaking of the quarterbacks and the conservative offense, interesting number here, Dustin. There were 14 rushes by running backs and 24 carries by the quarterbacks. Does that tell you?
Well, it tells you that the straight up running game wasn't really working very well. So what Kevon Lee and Keziah Holmes, 14 carries for 49 yards between them, a long of six. The longest run by a Penn State running back was six. The longest run by Will Levis was nine. So it was like every carry was between 3 and 9 yards, basically. I think because that was taken away and because Penn State couldn't establish that or get a rhythm going there, maybe they could have gone to that well a bit more, but they ended up falling in love with the quarterback run part of it, because you can block that. You know, you've got numbers, and it almost doesn't matter if you've got a quarterback who's 6'3", 230, if you've got that extra blocker in there that you're able to account for another body on the other side. That's what makes that play. So it doesn't matter if you're telegraphing it, that if the defense can see it coming, but you're still blocking it and executing it well, you can still get 2 to 3 yards again and again and again. And I think one of the things that's encouraging from all this is that maybe with both of these quarterbacks kind of into the rhythm of the game, you've got a short yardage solution that's better than anything that Penn State has had in a while, right? Like coming out, if they're not going to get out of the shotgun formation, this is probably about the best case scenario for them, is to have Will Levis in the game, has taken some hits and ready to kind of make that run and get that hard yardage.
Exactly. And if you look at the stat sheet, when it was third and one or third and two or fourth and one or two, more often than not, it's been effective. He has gotten the first down. It works. Where it hasn't worked is when they put him in on third and six or seven to try to get that yardage, calling the same play. So I think it's something that will stay part of their offense. It should stay part of their offense. They just need to tweak it a little bit, perhaps provide a couple options off of it. The one good part from the offense is there were no turnovers by the offense again. And James Franklin has preached that from the beginning when they were losing games, just how important that was. And to this day, that truly does seem to be the case.
I think if they can keep in front of the chains, if they can do a better job on third and manageable, and they cannot turn the ball over, that's exactly what they're going for. And you can, as a fan, sit there and wonder, like, should they be aspiring for more? But then you look back at some of the low points of those first 5 weeks, and it's like, okay, maybe this is about as good as you can hope for right now. With the personnel, with what they've got going on, with the play of the quarterbacks, all that stuff, they've adapted and they've taken on this identity. And I think there are plenty of components of that. Yeah, you can complain about, but at the same time, it's been enough. And frankly, it's probably going to be enough for at least one more week. So you're going to continue to see it.
I agree. But what's nice to see over this time, Dustin, in the last minute we have left, is the development, though, of some of the younger receivers. You saw Brenton Strange be a factor. You mentioned Parker Washington. That makes a difference to have multiple weapons to go to.
Yes, and I think that's been a very encouraging development. Is not just that Parker Washington, use him as an example, not just that he's got a lot of potential. I think we've seen him get better and grow into a role that you can anticipate him to continue growing moving forward. I hope Jahan Dotson comes back, because you want to see this offense have its best shot in 2021, because that's a 1-2 punch that Penn State can build around.
They definitely can, and it would be nice to see the tight end being used also. They went to him early. They didn't continue through the rest of the game, but I think it's shown that with Brenton Strange, there is a weapon there at tight end. All right, that is it for quarter number one. Stick around, and quarter number two, we'll continue the conversation.
Hi, this is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. If you're a fan of our Keystone Kickoff Show and you don't want to miss any of our analysis and review of the Penn State football team, there are plenty of ways to make sure you don't miss a single segment of our show. The best way to hear everything that Dustin, Greg, Ross, Bob, and Andy have to say is to download our app, Keystone Sports, from your app store. You can also find us on Spotify, the Apple Store, Google Play, and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We are the place for Penn State football analysis.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.